Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Moving forward as a couple, that's, I think, sometimes, does that get lost?
I think we can move forward individually, but as a couple, I mean, we have to move forward together. And I'll drag you.
I do think that's just, you know, because I've been living with MS for, boy, that's coming up on almost 23 years since my diagnosis. And you were diagnosed?
Over 25 years ago.
Wow. And we've been married since 2000.
Come on, husband.
2005.
Yes.
Okay. And we've been living happily ever since. And we, after we left, everybody left you in listener land the last time, we had 3 doctor visits, and those have been there, done that. And are you happy you had a gynecologist and a dentist appointment, and I had a podiatrist appointment? And then are you satisfied with your results or with your appointments?
I am. I had to see the gynecologist, as you mentioned, and I'm in a wheelchair, which I'm sure you probably gathered out there because I'm rolling and I'm dragging Dan with me. But it was a little more.
We need a sidecar. When are you going to get a sidecar?
That would be snazzy.
I would love it.
I'm sure you would, and that would be fun. But I would say walk as long as you can, Mr.
Okay, Mrs. So, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. With you, you're in a wheelchair, gynecologist, go.
So it's a little more difficult because I have to transfer out of my chair. And then, of course, you have to change clothes into that lovely paper little gown. But I had my caregiver, Jen, as well as you, Dan. So I had 2 people to help me change clothes. I felt like I was on a NASCAR pick.
this is
exactly. So they helped me change clothes and helped me get on the table. But when we rolled into the examining room, which was a little itty bitty, not super tiny, but still kind of
super tiny.
Tiny
when you got a chair and your entourage there to
exactly.
help.
Exactly. So we rolled in, and I'm 5'9". I'm a tall gal. And I walked in, and I'm like, even if I stood all the way up and jumped, I don't think I could get on that exam table.
It was a really, really tall exam table.
It was really tall. And so I waited for the nurse to pass by, and I told my husband, hey, why don't you see if we can get a different room? Because, you know, it's better when Dan does it. He's got a little more decorum, and he's a little kinder. Not that I'm rude. It's just I'm, you know.
Well, but you were in your gown.
Well, not to that point, because we walked into the room, and
oh,
it was like,
right.
Holy cats, there is no way.
Because I'm just like, well, because usually when we look at things and go to like toilets and stuff, and we know that toilets, they have to be taller than my knee. To be, you know, to make sure that we're ever going to be able to transfer you. But I mean, when we went into this exam room and the table was at, you know, over my hips, and I'm only 5'7", and I'm thinking there is absolutely no way you're going to be able to make that transfer onto the table.
And that's when I said, Dan, go see if we can move rooms. And we spoke with the nurse, and she said, absolutely. And they just had to clean up a room and get it all prepped for us. And we went into a room that had a movable table, which was really good, because as soon as we got in there and got on the exam table, the wonderful physician's assistant said, now I can move this. And she did, and she lowered it as needed and raised it to do the exam. So it was really good. And it wasn't embarrassing or anything.
Yeah.
And she was very accommodating. And it was the first time I met her, but I liked the doctor. So it should be no surprise that I liked the PA. But it is an advantage and something to look at if you're going to any doctor's appointment and you are a wheelchair user. see if the doctors have a movable table, because that can be really, well, what would we have done, Dan?
Rescheduled. I mean.
Exactly. That's true. And speaking of reschedule, nice segue, but that was unplanned. I'm in my wheelchair. It's a newer wheelchair that I've had for maybe 3 years, but I've never used this at our dentist. So I saw the gynecologist, and then the next week I saw my dentist, and I said, well, I want to take Silver because I named my wheelchair if we don't have kids. So let's name your chairs. So I said, I want to take Silver. And Dan said, you think it's going to fit? And our dentist is close enough where if it doesn't fit, we'll just reschedule the appointment. And we went in there with Silver, and the chair fit. We actually had more room than we did in Grape Ape.
Exactly.
My older chair. So that was really nice. And Dan transferred me into the exam.
Well, the exam chair and everything. And I think that's where, it went flawless. And Jody, your hygienist, and she's there. She knows her role. Just as far as spotting you in the transfer.
And that helps. Jody is very strong. She's a mighty powerful little piece of stick of dynamite. But she stood behind me in the chair as Dan was pivoting me and plopping me in the chair. And Jody was there and she helped to scoop me up a little bit again. Mighty yeah. strong. And so she did that, and that made for a flawless, mind you, cavity-free.
Congrats.
Thank you, dentist appointment.
And sandwiched in between there, I went to my podiatrist. And that was, it was interesting because I was getting the follow-up results to my x-ray and the just to see if there were mangled things in my feet, whether or not I had plantar fasciitis or just a bunch of nerves that were damaged in the foot. And so when I went in there and he's a different doctor than I normally have. And he comes into the exam room and he says, well, we have the results. And the bad news is we didn't find anything. And I'm like, well, is that really bad news or is that good news? You didn't find anything. The bad thing is they still don't know what's wrong other than potentially plantar fasciitis. But it's just the fact that there was nothing found. So then it's like, okay, well, things should be normal. And so it was a good conversation, good visit. I need to just do a better job of, stretching my feet. And it's good to hear that I was stretching properly. I just, once a day for 30 seconds doesn't a care plan make.
No.
And so, so we did that and, actually then got an appointment to get new orthotics because apparently you need to change it every year. And I think I've had these for 5. So,
yeah. So you definitely need to.
I wonder why
that.
My feet hurt.
Yeah. And that's something, self-care, you have to make the appointments and stay on top of that. And good job, Dan, going to the doctor, going to the podiatrist and admitting that you have old orthotics and you need to get new ones. Because we recently bought you a pair of shoes, new shoes that you say are much more comfortable than your other pair. Imagine how great they're going to be when you have a new orthotic.
Oh, dare to dream.
Dare to dream. And you said you're going to increase stretching. And I know that we stretch when we do our exercise.
And so this for getting to the point, subject for this episode anyway, along about way doing it is just talking about exercise and New Year's resolutions. Ooh. And it's not to say you go for a sec.
It's not to say that we're making New Year's resolutions. It's I have had the good fortune of being involved with Central Michigan University physical therapy students, the doctor of physical therapy students for a number of years. They have worked with me and they have helped me exercise and stretch. and it's been incredible. And Dan normally works during the day, but they're having an exercise class coming up in the beginning of 2023, and they're having it late enough in the day where Dan is going to leave work and go exercise. And it's an exercise class specifically for people with neurological conditions. Is it neurologic conditions or neurological? I'm not a grammar kind of gal, but it is for neurologic
conditions. I would say more or less for MS and Parkinson's. And
correct.
And really, it's like the precipice and everything that really set this up was the PT students had their PT Connect session. And that's just something I participate in every year because it's limited time. It's like, I think, was it 4 sessions?
Correct.
Over 5 sessions over 2 weeks. And I did that. And it about floored me because of all of the work and the exercise. And what we will say is that we encourage you to go to our blog, acoupledakesonms.com, because there's actually a post and there's videos of the exercises we were doing. And that just sort of precipitated then this notion of like, okay, Dan, you can take time away from work. You'll work remotely. You have a flexible schedule. Don't use that as an excuse for not exercising. And this just totally opened the door. Say, why, yes, this is perfect. And I think the fact that they're shifting move to later in the day where I can just skip out of work early and make up the time.
And MOVE is the exercise class that the physical therapy program puts on for the community. And that's something for you out there listening. Think about like a community college or a university or any sort of local, like a...
Well, even the Commission on Aging.
Yeah, any sort of local program that you have where you can get involved, or your support group if you belong to an MS society, National MS Society or MS Foundation group, they probably have some exercises. And if you're not living with MS, you can find a plethora of information on the internet, or you can find an exercise class online you can do at home. But that's the benefit of us going to the physical therapy students. We know we're doing the exercises properly, and we have someone that can help us exercise. And that's really kind of something we want to do in the new year, is continue activity, because we know how important it is. And you saw the benefit from what you did with the PT students in those 4 visits.
And exactly. And it's like, that's where it's the encouragement of knowing that you can do these things. So I guess for everybody out there, I mean, what do you do to continue moving where you are? I mean, how you are, you know, check in with us, go to our website or email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com just to give us insights, because maybe with what you're doing, we can share that with others, and that can just help other people to move more. And that's where I was surprised at how much I was limited, or how much it did hurt. But that's an activity over how many months, years, weeks, and stuff. And so it's like, how encouraging, because yeah, there were some defeatist things where I'm thinking, dude, I can't, because I am so left side weak in my left leg. And the exercise that they had me do, this challenge course, obstacle course, and I don't want to, I'm being exaggerating, obviously, but it's just like, it almost killed me, because I'm just like, I could not lift my left leg, but they did so much just in that little bit of time that totally helped. And having measurable results to see how much stronger my left leg was just by doing that little bit. So I'm just thinking, dude, what if I did it more often? I mean, obviously, this is like an epiphany for people, and it's like, it's pretty elementary. This is like, well, you knew this is what you needed to do, but I think you just have that encouragement. The 2 students that were working with me, Haven and Michaela, And I'm just like, I need somebody to hold me accountable, or I need somebody to make me feel like I'm owing to you, and I need to look at you there, Jenny D, to say, I need to do this for you.
Well, and we finished with PT Connect, which was that 4-day program. And the students gave us exercises to do on our own. And I have been going to this exercise class called Move all year. So I went in the fall semester, the last, semester. And before the students went away on Christmas break, one of the leaders said, you guys are like family, and we've worked with you for these 3 months. Don't let the holidays, don't let the time away from us because they're away on break now. Don't let that be a period where you don't exercise, where you don't move on your own, and you get weaker and you go back. Stay strong. So I have been writing down every time I do activity, if I stand in my standing frame, if I use my leg bike, if I use my arm bike, I write it down, and that holds me accountable. And it helps because I know that those students, when we go back to class, they're going to want to know what we did, and they themselves are doing it because they want to, they're partners in this exercise journey with us. And they want to say, look, we struggled there. We did exercise. So if we can do it, we can ask you to do it. And it's a really good relationship, Dan. We're really fortunate to work with the CMU students, the physical therapy department. Again, that's where, if you're listening to this, think about the resources that you have that you may not have explored, because it's a win-win. Students are learning practical, face-to-face encounters with people with chronic illnesses, and then we're benefiting because we're getting free physical therapy from students that will be doctors in it probably seems like forever for them, but in a short amount of time.
Years. So let me ask you this then. What keeps you motivated in terms of maintaining your exercise and everything? I mean, just with your chart, even before you were logging it there for the PT students and stuff, just that you always will say, okay, can I stand today? Can I stand? And just like, what makes you decide? Because it'd be so easy to just sit and, and not, and just watch TV.
I've been in a wheelchair for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I met you 20 years ago. You have never known me to walk. I am 2 inches taller than you when I'm standing. And that is something I was really insecure about when we first met, because I was in my chair. But you were like, oh no, it's not a big deal. So someday I want to be able to walk with you, even though I'm 2 inches taller than you. And I think that's what keeps me going, is I want to be able to do that. And I know that when new treatments or new therapies come out, if something big, miraculous comes out for our MS, I need to be in the best shape possible. So I want to keep my legs as strong. And, I don't walk currently, but that doesn't mean I can't walk in the future. But another reason I try and exercise is because it will help you, Dan, my caregiver. It will help Jen, my caregiver, as well. Just, I need to be in the best shape that I can be. I mean, we talk about New Year's resolutions, but I learned something from you, Dan, that they're not resolutions, they're commitments. And I'm committing to trying to stay as healthy as possible. And maybe for once in my life, I will actually get that weight piece of the wellness. But right now I'm going to focus on keeping my legs and myself as strong and as flexible as possible. But why don't you tell me more about commitment?
And I'm committing to doing that, because it's just like, it's there. It gives it more of a long-term, effect. And I did see, listening to Jay Shetty, his podcast on purpose. And he talked about like with businesses and everything, this is, and I just transitioning or translating it into my head. But he said, you know, in terms of like not setting goals, but making it more personal and challenging yourself. It's just like, I challenge, you know, to become where it's a challenge. And it's like, I'm challenging myself to do this. But then there is go a step further and just stay committed to that challenge. And that challenge then becomes very much a personal thing. And it's like you're, and then it's no longer anybody else is involved. This is like me. It's one-on-one. And this is, and if it doesn't take, if nothing is there, that's on me. And it's just like, so challenge myself and just make that commitment. And not say, oh, I'll get to it someday, or yeah, I will. You know, eventually it's like, no, do it now. Don't waste the time. I mean, just think how quickly. I mean, we are, you know, this is going to be the end of the year. I mean, 2022. And you think how quickly everything went this year. And it's just like, you know, time's wasting. And so it's just like, still, stay committed, make that commitment, challenge yourself and do that. And it does, and you don't have to wait for January 1 to make this happen. I mean, every day, make that challenge, make that commitment.
And it is easy. I remember when I was diagnosed with MS, and it's been 25 years since I was diagnosed. My biggest fear was having to rely on a wheelchair, but that happened. And look at everything I've done. You know, I met you, we got married, finished graduate school. We've had a lot of accomplishments, but that wouldn't be possible if I would have just stopped. And it is hard. This disease, this multiple sclerosis, is such a mind game. And my body is weak. I mean, I will admit that. MS has made my body weak, but my mind has to be strong. I have to be committed. I have to be challenged. And I have to do it for myself, but I also have to do it for my family, for my husband, for my caregiver. And so I think it's easy. You know, people will say, well, I don't want to end up in a wheelchair. And I'm sitting right there in my wheelchair. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because this existence, you're right. You should just give up. Like, no, bull crap. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to. And it is so stinking tough. It is so tough, but I'm not going to give up. And Dan, you know, you're walking. And that's why I said, just walk as much and as long as you can. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, I wish I would have walked longer. And I wish that we would have had the medicine 20 years ago that we have now, but we didn't. What do we have now? What's in front of me? What can I handle? And I talk a good game, and I just have to listen to myself and remember that this is going forward. We need to challenge ourselves and have goals.
Well, and I think that's the big thing, you know, when we just start talking about resolutions and things, and everyone's just like, oh, I don't do your resolutions. I've just, you know, I find I fail all the time. And I'm thinking, is that what people need to do more of, is just setting the one goal, the one challenge, the one resolution, because then you can focus. And I always feel like, you know, success begets success. And it's like, so if you nail that, you get good with that one thing. If we're exercising, we're doing everything we can physically, does that open the door and say, oh, well, I did this, I can accomplish this? And so it's like, yeah, I have lots and lots and lots of goals, you know, in my mind. Yeah, I want to, you know, we talk about writing another book, and I'm going to do that this year. We are going to do that this year. But first and foremost, we need to exercise, because if I'm not physically in the best shape, if I'm not there strength-wise, I'm not going to be able to accomplish a lot beyond that. So I just need to focus and stay on that, challenge myself, commit to just that.
So I think that's, I mean, that's good. And we are going into another year, and we have amazing support behind us and with us. And that MS is not going anywhere. And that's, I remember when I was first diagnosed, everything I looked for, I mean, it was back in a dark age before the internet. I hate to admit that. I mean, we had the internet, but it was so really shady, and you couldn't trust anything you read. So you had to do looking, going to libraries, if you remember what those are. If you go to them still, bless you. But we would go and look for information, and everything I wanted was for a cure. And I don't know if people who are diagnosed now feel that way, but there isn't a cure. So what are you going to do at this moment to make your life better or to make yourself stronger? There's a lot of good medication out there, and there's diet and stretching and exercise like we talked about. But MS, I mean, I'm not speaking in a vacuum here. I would love to hear what other people do. And I'm in a wheelchair and I'm doing the best I can wheelchair-wise. But if you have some really good tips or other wheelchair users, something to pass on that I'm missing. And I know that the internet's out there so I can find exercises.
But you want to hear personal stories mm-hmm. from people and how that works. And So check in with us. Let us know what works for you, and let us know what are you going to challenge yourself to do this year? What are you going to commit to do to help improve where you are physically, mentally, everything with this and living with this disease? And so thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your stories and perspectives.
And thank you, Dan, for sharing your story and your perspective.
Just in terms of the experiences we've had with our doctor's appointments, but then how are we going to move forward with that? And so let us know, again, Jennifer said, and you can connect with us through our website and through our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. But thanks for listening to this podcast, and we encourage you to go to wherever you listen and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you can hear us and connect with us every time we post, and that is A Couple Takes on MS, and you can reach us through our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or on Twitter at, and there's no A in it, so it's just at @CoupleTakesOnMS. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen and share with us, because this is a community and we're not in this alone. And so until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care.